And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 4 minutes past nine on this Friday, the 20th of September. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And it's good to be with you again. We are going to be joined very shortly by our Friday panel. We're going to discuss some of the big news stories of the week and day, so stay tuned for that. We also have our competition, thanks to Breeden's House to Home. I'll mention that a little later on, and so much more besides. Okay, let's welcome on to the programme our guests this morning. We'll say hello first to Councillor Micheál Colum McGillan-Asbeg, Independent Councillor in the Glenties Municipal District. Good morning to you, Micheál Colum. Thanks for joining us.
You seem hard at work there. Yes. I went along with a few others in Scribble the Fubble. We run a drop-in. So on a Friday morning, I do a bit of cooking. So this morning, we're having mashed potatoes with smoked Donegal bacon through it, with a storn away black pudding. So anybody that's about between now and 12 o'clock, call in Anagra.
Very good. Councillor Paul Canning, Fianna Fáil Councillor in the Inishowen Municipal District. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to all your listeners, and good morning to the other members of the show.
We also have a committed campaigner and former school principal, Doreen Sheridan, Sheridan Kennedy. Good morning, Doreen.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Colum, and good morning, Paul. How are you all doing?
Thanks so much for joining us. This week, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly continued his push to expand free contraception to 16-year-olds as part of Budget 25. Contraception is currently free for all women aged 17 to 35 under measures brought in by the Fianna Fáil Minister. There is resistance, however, with the Department of Health from within the Department of Health for the initiative to be extended to girls aged 16 due to medical ethics. This because the age of consent in Ireland is 17. Politically, AIM2 leader Pádraig Tobin said this peer pressure may well increase for a child if the state, in a practical sense, is given a licence to underage sexual activity. Doreen, what do you think? Should it be extended? Would you have sympathy to the likes of Pádraig Tobin's point of view?
Well, it's not like me to agree with Aintu on much now, but I have to say he has an issue here that needs to be addressed. But I also think we're very naive in this country if we think that our 16, 17-year-olds aren't sexually active, and therefore, if it's the right move and it's been suggested by the health department, I think they should look at the possibility of the availability of the contraceptives, definitely, without a doubt in the world. I do think that Aintu are probably looking at a broader picture and feel that you're lowering the consent age is something that's very important. But when you look at what goes on in England as well, I mean, there will be no there will be contact with parents in relation to this if GPs feel that the person in question will have difficulty managing the whole issue. So I think it's definitely for health experts to debate this, and definitely for
you have medical independence at 16, so theoretically a 16-year-old could be put on the pill without parental consent.
Yeah, I didn't say they didn't need parental consent, but GPs would have to work with parents on it if they were concerned about the mental health of the child in question. Because at the end of the day, you remember, you know, we have 16-year-olds who are looking to vote, and we have 16-year-olds who are, you know, 16-year-old of today is not the 16-year-old of 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So it's the way the world's moving. And it's not that I agree with what's happening. It's just that it's out there and we need to address it. And I would compliment the Minister of Health for trying to push forward with it.
Because it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, the likes of Aintu and many, many others, by the way, almost half of the population would have perhaps issues with abortion. If 16-year-olds are sexually active, and I think we all must concede that they are, making the pill available to them freely might avoid unwanted pregnancies, and therefore address
that's
concern.
That's the bottom line, really, Greg, isn't it? I mean, that's the bottom line as far as I'd be concerned as well. You don't want someone at 16 years of age, at that young age, having to face into that, because despite the fact of saying we're very helpful and supportive, there's still a lot need to be done to help our young people who find themselves in that situation. So, you know, it's all very well saying, you know, we're there to help you if you're pregnant at 16, but are we really as a society? Are we that caring and are we that supportive? So, you know, I have It's the world we live in, and I think we need to move with the times.
Paul Canning, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with Dorian in this one, because, you know, 16-year-old, my first thought is the prevention is better than the cure. You know, we as a society tend to hide away from reality at times and pretend it's not happening, you know. Now, same with Dorian, I'm certainly no expert in this field.
But if it's only, say, for instance, I mean, it is happening, but we don't know at what stage, because sometimes we make decisions without information, right? So say 10% of 16-year-olds are sexually active. I don't know. I'm pulling that figure out of my head. Is there an argument that making contraception available because 10% are gives potentially a green light or encouragement to the other 90% who currently aren't? And I'm just proposing a question there. It's not a view.
You know, speaking, you know, and we all have sons and daughters, like, but I know, like, and as I say, I'm not the expert, so I need to be careful how I state this, but I've been informed or told that the pill actually helps prevent acne in some of our young people, and it also sort of regulates the cycle in some of our young girls. That's why in some cases, so there's a lot of other than just the pregnancy side of things, there's a lot of other things that the pill does. So I tend to trust our GP's advice and also put the trust in that 16-year-old that is going to the GP and making that decision. So, you know, I would agree, but again, it's down to the person and the GP themselves.
Yeah, because this is about giving it free to 16-year-olds. We heard during the week that there are organisations that give the pill to anyone, regardless of their age, using a metric which effectively determines that they are able to understand what sex is and understand what the consequences of it may be. So there are organisations that are routinely issuing the pill to girls, and it's not 16, it can be any age. There's no lower age as such. So this is about the state saying, right, this is free for 16-year-olds. Micheál Colum, you're muted there. I'm sure you will unmute. What's your view?
Yeah, I think this is very complex, and I think this is an issue that has to be discussed by those who actually know what they're discussing.
You've one sentence out and I'm cutting across you already and I don't mean to, but as parents, though, no one knows our children better than we do. As parents, are we not the experts?
Well, we're not the full experts, hence that's why we have health professions who support parents along their young ones' journey through life. So I believe, look, the reality is that here we are talking about women again and their bodies, mostly men talking about women and their bodies, young girls like Padraig Bean, who seems to be very obsessed with all this issue around sexuality and sex. I think that women and young girls at whatever age they need the pill should have access to it on health grounds. I think the reality is, and look, it's been a long time since I've been a youth worker, but and my own experience back years as a youth worker, a percentage of young ones are very sexually active. And I find it very interesting how we're talking here about young girls not getting pregnant instead of maybe having this conversation about let's give out more sexual health information to young males, young boys. Why is the onus constantly on the woman, on the girl, on the boy? Don't get pregnant, take the pill. Don't be walking the streets at night on your own. Don't be wearing short dresses. Take pepper spray, which will protect you from males. So I think the conversation is far broader. That's unfortunate that Tobin doesn't seem to have that interest.
But the reality is
have that conversation.
The reality is that what often men can do, and listen, when it comes to children, you know, I think we need strong adult voices, whether they're male or female, advocating for children. So I have no issue talking about what's right for 16 and 15 and 14-year-olds as a dad myself, because I think we've that responsibility and we can't sit in our hands and say it's not our business. And I'm not saying you're saying that. But you in relation to lads, right, you know, at the end of the day, we'd all love all fellas to be fully respectful of women and to do the right thing in the right situation and to take personal responsibility. But they can't. They won't, sorry. They won't. We can't educate all
fellas to do the
right
thing. That's because we're always putting the onus on the female.
Yeah, but the reason is it's the woman in this case that can take the contraception to protect herself from something that she might not want, but at the same time consent in the activity.
I can't agree, because the males can make the decisions themselves not to actually
be involved,
to be sexually active and not to be aware of the consequences. And we automatically are talking about the contraceptive and we just jump straight away into this narrative that, oh, the young girls just want to have sex like all the time. When, you know, there's a huge, and Paul Cannon have touched on it, there's a whole range of reasons why young girls should and do take the contraceptive. But I'm saying is that we're always talking about the responsibility of the female instead of the responsibility that needs to be discussed far more, and I don't see that discussion as broad and as often as I'd like to see, as the view or the focus on young males. The young, like when you talk to young people today, and you would have thought what the limited sex education that is happening in schools, the whole consent conversation that is happening, there are massive, massive issues out there that women and young girls face on a daily basis, from sexual harassment, from rape, from violence to women. And we're talking about the contraceptive here and we just bounce straight into it. Yes, let's stop women basically having sex. And if we can't do that there, pull them up and sure, they'll not have any babies.
Yeah.
And instead of having the conversation around the male.
Yeah, but I get where you're coming from, right? But we'd almost be wasting our time having a conversation about the male.
Disagree.
Because at the end, no, surely we would, because at the end of the day, we are currently where we are at now. And the barrier, the control a woman has over her own body is the contraceptive pill. It shouldn't be that way. But how many
women full control over their bodies, unfortunately?
How many 17-year-old lads would take a pill every single day? I wonder, Dory.
Well, why do you expect women to do it?
Because that's the medical situation that's currently there. There is not such a pill available for fellas. That's the way that is the way we're at the moment. So, what do we say to lads? Like, you know, you must wear a condom all of the time. Would that satisfy a woman's concerns? Do you know what I mean? What do you think, Doreen?
I think you're not listening to Colm. I think Colm.
No, I am listening. I'm just trying to tease out the conversation.
No, I don't think you're listening to Colm and what he's saying. He's a very valid point in relation to...
Michael Lehman.
Educating, you know, the male side of this, and maybe enough has not been done in schools. And I'm not one to be hampering and adding to the curriculum, but I think much more needs to be addressed. And why would men not take responsibility, young men of 16, 17? And they need to be educated, whether it's through our youth clubs, whether it's through Feroiga, whether it's through parish councils, whatever you decide to do, whatever way it is.
All right, so just to be clear.
This debate as well. And you're very naive, Greg, to be thinking that it's down to the
okay, here's the thing. My point is this, and maybe I'm not articulating it very well. So do you believe the actual solution, what will actually work to stop unwanted teen pregnancies, is better education of boys? It will, of course, assist in that, but it will never be successful to the point that it actually will stop the need for a woman to have to be able to have access to a pill to protect her body if she doesn't want to get pregnant.
No, but you have to start somewhere. And Colm's right. We need much more education. We need much more debate and discussion out there. And I think the main point that you made, Colm, is we need the experts talking about this. We're no experts in this field. We don't know how this would affect the mental health of the girls in question. We don't know how it affects the young fellas that are in question who get our teenage children pregnant. So, you know, there's a huge issue out there and a huge debate.
All right.
And I wouldn't like to think, too, you're saying that there are groups giving out random pills to people of any age. It's probably the morning after pill they're giving, and they're doing it, you know, they're doing it in their, they think it's in their interest, they're doing it. So I think we need to be very careful about this whole debate and where it goes, Greg.
What do you think, Paul? Anything further to add?
Yeah, listen, Paul.
Your microphone is brutal. Do you have a microphone or is the sound coming through the webcam, I wonder?
I don't know.
All right, if you don't know, it's coming through the webcam. Go ahead, yep.
Yeah. No, what Mihal said about educating the the male is 100%. But the problem being is the male is never going to be caught pregnant. And keeping the discipline on the male is the problem. You can educate them all they want, like, but it's like taking the horse to the water, you know what I mean? So that's where we need to get the balance, and we do need to emphasize a little more on the female in this one. Educate the male. The male knows right well what he's doing, and he knows the consequences. But as you say, if you have a situation where the female is dependent on the male taking the pill on their night out, and he'd say whatever he has to say, and that's a different scenario. I get what Michael's saying about we do need to educate the male, but
One of the greatest increases in reports to organisations that deal with sexual assaults and what have you is teenager on teenager assaults. Now, we can try our best, and we have to do all we can to educate that out. But at the end of the day, this is a conversation about a 16-year-old girl sort of having that control. And when you think of all the peer pressure and the conversation that goes on in there, education is fine, but I just don't think it would ever offer enough security to replace something like the need for a woman to be able to take a pill. Again, I'm not sure if I've explained that correctly, but there's an awful lot of conversation on this program on attitudes of particularly young men and what needs to be done to try and change that, especially when you've got people like Andrew Tate and what have you who are pushing another agenda. Okay, it is the 9 till noon show. We're in the company of our panel, Councillor Micheál Colm McGillan-Asbeg, Councillor Paul Canning and Doreen Sheridan Kennedy. More from them and your views from wherever you're listening coming up after this break. Caller says, what about educating and testing young people for STIs? Don't being mentioned as a massive problem that may arise. Greg, this is very undisciplined discussion of free contraception for girls under the age of consent. The state simply cannot give free contraception normalising sexual activity. What it is illegal for children involved to be having sex. Also, Greg's contention that the pill prevents unplanned pregnancy is specious in practice, not a word I'm familiar with, because while contraceptives have never been more available, there were over 10,000 abortions last year. The argument being, and not my argument, is that some of those abortions could be prevented if we could avoid unwanted pregnancies. I think it's a bit strange that we're talking about children having sex. It is what it is, though. This is the proposal that the government's discussing at the moment. Sure, some 14-year-olds today are sexually active. Should the state not consider supplying these children with contraception? Where will it end then when a child reaches puberty? Another, good morning, Greg. We all know 16-year-olds are drinking and smoking. Should they be allowed to buy drink or cigarettes if we have to move with the times again? This is a government sexualizing younger kids. Another, I totally agree that any teenager sexually active should be allowed to get access to the pill. Too many teenaged girls are holding their babies. All children should know who their fathers are, and all fathers, regardless of circumstances, should be made pay maintenance. Another, I think that parents are experts in this. If they want to get their 14, 15-year-old girls on contraception, they should take control. Boys need to take responsibility too and to be given condoms. Not all children are sexually active, but the reality is some are. It's better to prevent unwanted pregnancies. Thanks. Keep them coming in. It is a subject. It's a difficult subject, but it's one which we will return to. There have been calls for a fixed-term parliament to get rid of the intense speculation that seems to pop up every 4 or 5 years. The current government insists it will go full-term this either to February or March, but the smart money still seems to be on a November election. Would you favour more certainty, Paul, fixed-term parliaments? Would you like that kind of a thing?
Yeah, we have it at local elections, we have it at European elections, and it doesn't do us any harm, I think, fixed-term. We need to allow for proper decisions to be made and to create a proper opposition to the government. You know, not like what's happening at the minute, where we have so much showcase, and I know Micheál's going to come on in this for the purpose of the media. We have a big hype about a vote of no confidence in the government. You know, and God forbid if it ever did happen, they would trap themselves, you know. So that's where we're at. In the last few years of a government, they're all just sitting, when's the election. We nearly lost that term for doing the proper heavy lifting of a government. So when people are voting for people this coming election. They're not sure whether they're going to be in for 5 years, they're going to be in for 1 year, they're going to be, so we need to get clarity, and we need to then know what we are voting for and what is going to happen, rather than this people being sitting on thin ice for the fall.
But when things are going quite well, and we can discuss this further in a moment, but for this government, in terms of opinion polls, certainly Fine Gael, things are going quite well. They've money coming out of the rear, seemingly, for a budget that's going to be very election-focused. It's kind of unfair currently, more so, I think, on the opposition or independents or Sinn Féin or whomever it is, because the whole political landscape can be effectively, you know, designed to best suit the government that's currently in power.
Yeah.
So would you not like that as a member of a party that's currently in power?
Yeah, but the situation is, you know, when you put your name on the paper, you put your name to run for government and to run the country. This is my opinion. I think that people put their name on the paper and the ballot box just to be in opposition. You know, just to stand on the sideline and say you're doing it wrong.
But opposition's incredibly important in a democracy, isn't it? Because it's the opposition in the seats of power that hold the government to account, their decisions to account. Is that not a really important role? Governance is not necessarily, it has to be the be all and end all. You can have a very successful political career holding parties in power to account.
Yeah, but target the policy, not the person.
Okay. What do you think, Doreen? Would you favour a fixed-term parliament so that we'd know, you know, on day one, we'd know when the final day is?
Well, the prerogative, I think, lies in the government that's in situ. But, you know, we know that it's going to have to be by March. I mean, I don't know, unless someone has tried to book holidays and move away, you know, it's either going to be November or March, probably after Paddy's Day. But I actually think the present government looks very well in the polls. And I think we would be mad, I know, within the Fine Gael party, not to be going for November, because statistics are good. You've referenced them yourself, you know, and that's what's on the cards. And I think it's very good coming after local elections and after European elections, because people are in the zone of talking and canvassing and being out there, and issues have been raised. And that's no harm. I find it very good that it follows on from other elections, and that it's getting good coverage media-wise. And but I don't see what the I suppose the thing that going to March will be good for the candidates that have been announced, that it'll give them more time to have...
Yeah, but everything, Doreen, is shaping up for a November election. It seems everything is yet the government is standing there insisting it's in February and March. If they do call it in November, if you had trust in the government and they're saying straight to your face it's going to be February and March, and then they call it for November, like everyone is saying it is. If you can't trust them that, what can you trust them on? Just tell us when.
Well, you see,
is.
With you, Greg, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. That's, you know, bad. That's a choice of Harris as the Taoiseach, and of the Taoiseach, and of the head of the Green Party. If they've decided they're going to go in November, that's their business. And if they decide to go in March, that's their business also. But I think you're just a bit critical there now of trying to suggest that you wouldn't trust them. You know what I mean? We trusted them to put them into government, and the country's in good shape. There's the amount of money that's in the country, the amount of money that's been spent in this county. And I said, I just think it's not right to be saying about not trusting the government. It's up to people to vote whatever way they wish when the time comes. But in the present climate, we're very lucky to have the people that we
when
have.
When do you think it will be? When
whether it's at national level or local level.
When do you think, the election will be?
I told you what I would like it to be.
No, when do you think it will be?
I'm telling you, I would like it in my party to be in November, but it may be in March.
But when do you think it will be in
March?
That's
my answer now, Greg, and don't be annoying me.
Micheál Colum, what do you think?
There's one thing about Doreen you can trust. She'll defend the Fine Gaelers to the backbone, but as either she's choosing not to answer the question that was asked, or just didn't understand the question that was asked. The question that was asked, to my understanding, was should there be a fixed term, indefinite, of a government being elected within the Free State? I would oppose that there. So the reason, or some of the reasons, because I could go on, is that if you look at where the world is at the moment, if you look at the conflict that is happening in the Middle East, with the rampage of Zionism right across the Middle East and their attempts to drag other countries into a world war. If you look at the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael position in terms of Europe's view on NATO, their move towards getting us to join NATO, the use of Shannon Airport by foreign imperialist military. And I think if you had a fixed term, that would suit Fianna Fáil Fine Gael, or more importantly, it would suit the upper class of society, the business class, that they would be, because that's who Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael represent. They give us tokenistic piecemeal money and gestures every now and again, but their main objective is to look after the upper classes in society. And war makes massive profit, and there is a move where we can see clearly every turnaround, the stripping of our neutrality, the move with the defence forces towards joining Nordic pacts and sending them into conflict.
But in relation to that, though, we don't have fixed-term governments. What we actually have now is, you know, this variance that there can be, and yet we're in the situation as you've outlined it. So if you don't want a fixed government for those reasons, and we don't have a fixed-term government currently now, how is that used to sort of address some of the issues you've raised?
I think if you had a very strong opposition, and you were right in terms of what you said earlier, Greg, I think if you had a very strong opposition, I find we don't. I think we have an opposition that shouts a lot, but no great substance. So I think if we had a really strong opposition, but going back to what I says was one of many reasons, one of the reasons why I wouldn't agree with a fixed-term government is, and there is a massive concern amongst the population that this world, or this wars that are happening, unfortunately, on the Lebanese and the Palestinians and people of the Middle East and other parts of the world is going to escalate more. And there is a hunger within the Dublin government and the establishment amongst Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to be a part, to be seen to be the good little boy for their European masters. And if we had a fixed term, we as the people within the 26 counties could not bring down a government while they send our youth to die in the interest of the very wealthy. And I think that's really, really a strong position to hold, because otherwise they will just absolutely run rampage. It's difficult enough. We see what they're doing at the moment in terms of, I suppose, the... what's the word that the economic expenditure? I'm lost for words now.
But in relation to that, do you think the government should stop supporting the Ukrainian army in terms of sending over body
absolutely.
Armor? You believe that we should be offering no support, no training at all for the Ukrainian army?
I have no difficulties with taking people from war zones.
No, that's a different issue.
No. You have asked a question. Let me finish it. To take them into this country where there's a war zone. Where I do have difficulty is that as a 26th state, we are supposed to be neutral, and neutral means actually being neutral, not participating in other countries' wars. And bear in mind that this is the expansion of NATO, and Ukraine is a Muppet state that has been allowed to be used by fairly right-wing elements within the military and the military context, and also within the Helsinki's government. So in terms of Ukraine, if we talk about Palestine, if we talk about liberation movements, anti-imperialist movements from Africa to the Middle East, I just believe that the government here prefers to look after the interest of their economic elite and their European masters instead of actually looking after the working class people. And that's evident in Donegal itself. But in terms of the answer to your question, no, I don't believe there should be a fixed term.
Paul, do you agree with how Micheál Collins framed his point of view there?
Some of it I agree with him, and some of the neutrality, and he's right. And we have no problem bringing people in for refuge, etc. In relation to, again, as you touched on yourself, in relation to the actual government that's in power here at the minute, there's ample opportunities, and it hasn't even been brought to the table in relation to all of the world wars, for a better word. There is a scenario coming up in the general election, and it will be the same parties, in my opinion, that will be elected back in. Mm-hmm. So the people, the general public, are happy enough and content with that. They want them to do the job. They want them to get on with the job. And they are doing a good job.
OK, well, listen, I have to take a break and we're going to come back on that issue. And you can tease that out a little bit more if you prefer, because otherwise I'll have to cut across. So we'll take the break and we're going to come back on recent opinion polls and really what the makeup of the next government may well be. Stay where you are. So Micheál Martin says he's not worried about the support Simon Harris has garnered in recent polls. Harris's support has surged to 55%. On a party level, Fine Gael currently are 27% in the polls. Fianna Fáil at 19%. Sinn Féin are on 20%. So just to follow on, Paul, with what you were saying there, and of course the whole panel will be involved in this conversation, how do you think those numbers play out come election time? And I think you've already outlined that you were of the view that the current government, at least the big two, will be back in government post-November, February or March.
Yeah, listen, polls, as Dorian will probably agree with me, polls mean nothing. The things change every week, and I think certain polls can be taken to suit, they know the answer before they take them, just for the purpose of keeping this whole media hype going. I think the timing of a lot of polls at times needs to be questioned, you know, and who they get in touch with at times when they're doing the poll, I would question some of the polls.
Doreen, what do you think?
Well, I want to come back first to Councillor Micheál Malaspy and about his comments about the upper class and the kind of economic elite within Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the parties in government. I think you're a bit delusional about this, because tell me now how the government hasn't helped with helping people with the meals that are going into schools, with the amount of money going into our community centres, with the amount of people who are unemployed, with the amount of grants that are available for people.
200,
and
200,
they're looking at the budget, yeah, and what's available now coming in the budget.
Okay.
And they're looking
but
at
Doreen, just in relation to that.
Carers. So, yeah. Colm, I don't know where you're getting this idea that we're elite.
But
we're
Doreen, just in relation,
myself,
just
sorry,
in relation to
I
that.
I don't see myself in the upper
one
class.
One second.
Colm.
It's a conversation. It's a conversation, not a lecture.
And just get a different vision of what's going on within the Fine Gael party.
Almost a million people are on waiting lists for a hospital appointment. 220,000. Children are in poverty. They don't have food or clothing adequate to their needs. Donegal exclusively, almost across the entire country, has massive waiting lists for home care packages. The hospital, if you get down to the emergency department, is overrun. And now, I'm not saying that's a reflection on this government, Doreen, but...
Are you not?
No. But if you look at that, what you've just said doesn't seem to jive with people's lived reality in Donegal on a day-to-day basis.
But the reality in Donegal is there are issues, and I would be the first to admit to that. And I can see that being a mother, being a grandmother myself, how it's not easy to access grants within banks, how there are issues within the hospitals. But things are improving, and I think they're going the right way.
OK, with that in mind, do you believe, Doreen, that the problems in Donegal affect the poor and the rich equally? Or do you believe the problems in Donegal that you say are there are more likely to affect those on lower incomes?
I think they affect us all if there are issues out there. Okay. I don't see this class division that councillor's talking about. I don't see that.
Right.
But I know there are issues out there that need to be addressed. But there are also, you need to look at reality as well, the amount of money that's been pumped into this county. I said, look at Heather Humphrey's department alone. Billions gone into this county. People seem to forget that. And it's down to ordinary people that this money's going into the community centres, into the, you know, projects that need to be developed into Swan Park, into the centres where people are working, the homes.
Okay, I get you. Micheál, so, Colm, you know, come back in there.
I'm sorry, I'm just not accepting that as a party we are upper class and that we don't look after everybody in relation to meals going into schools, the money that's been given there, the grants that have been made available. Yes, there are issues. Mm-hmm. We're not stupid. I mean, you know, the cost of living is very much on the agenda for no matter
who does
what
the cost of living affect most? Who do you think the cost of living affects most? The poorer in society or the richer? All right, Micheál Colm, go ahead.
You
want
to?
Yeah, look, I think with respect to you, Doreen, and look, again, I've been debating with you for a very, very long time. many years now, and I wouldn't expect you to respond in any other way. But the reality is that working class people and the upper class people are poles apart. And the reason that they're poles apart, because your party and Fianna Fáil party make sure that your wealthy class, that just represent, are well looked after. It is well known that Fianna Gael are a party of the right, that they are a party who supports the economic growth of the upper classes before the working classes. And if you're talking about things being well, tell that to my constituents who are homeless. Tell that. I was at a meeting during the week, because you reference community centres, where we in Clackyanlela, we don't even have one youth worker, in terms of the meeting that we had with other community groups and community, a number of community centres, where we're fighting, trying to find funding to employ somebody with working wages, with proper living wages, not surviving wages, and we're not getting that support that we need. Those that are on trolley beds, those that are on the waiting list, the one in child, one in five children that go to school hungry, the fuel poverty that people die of, and it'd be worth reading, unfortunately I don't due to my dyslexia, but it'd be worth reading during the Bernardo and St Vincent de Paul's annual report as a snippet of what's actually affecting and how it affects the economic policy of your party and the working class communities. Doreen, I didn't interrupt you, please. And if you look in terms of the investment, if you look at the investment from your party right across the 26 counties, then they've all been left out. Rail, for one example, our roads and infrastructure, housing, the failure of government to build adequate amount of housing to make sure that the landlord classes are well looked after, the vulture funds, those that come into our communities and buy up houses cheap because it's cheap for them because of their surplus and money. For us as working class, all we're seeing is our youth being exported, having to go to other countries to find a living, not being able to stay at home while their grandparents, while their parents are getting old and no homes to put them into, not enough money to put oil into their tanks. The reality is your party represents that, and it reflects in terms of your vote. In the last election, there are far more left-wing
in the local elections in Donegal
than there are from the Gael.
Okay, I want to bring Paul into, but I want to give Doran an opportunity to respond
there. Maybe you should speak to your colleague, Piers Doherty, and ask him.
He's not my colleague. I am independent.
Well,
I'm a socialist Republican.
Are you really, Colm, now?
Maybe ask other people
who are not
to be respectful.
What they're doing and what they're highlighting.
Okay. Doreen, bring it out with Sinn Féin.
And Doreen, I just want to say one thing, sorry. Anyway. Doreen, it's Micheál's his name, Micheál. It's not Colm, his name's Micheál.
Doreen knows this.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry, Paul, did you want to come back in there? Because you're sort of in between in that you are, you know, a member of Fianna Fáil. It's a government party, but obviously it seems to be Fianna Gael's the lightning rod in this conversation for everything that's wrong in the country.
You know, I mean, as it goes, listen, the situation, and everybody knows the amount of money that Charlie McConnell, the Minister for Agriculture, got into this county. Millions more than anything ever came into this county ever before. In relation to where Micheál Colm is coming about that lower earner and how powerful, and we are all aware of that. We expensively dealing with that and trying to deal that.
Paul, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
No, but that's fine. Unfortunately, we're just going to have to persist with it for now. Micheál, we're just going to have to persist with it for now. It's just the microphone on Paul's computer is not fantastic, but I take your point.
Yeah, you know, so we are in a situation, and again, it's whenever it comes to we're back to the opposition taking up their positions. They're not willing to take up their positions. So Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael is doing the best that they can do, and they are doing, in my opinion, they are doing a good job running this country. And that's why they're still there. And the situation is that why they won't be there as well, because we have, you know, I keep referring to the football pitch where you have men on the bench shouting from the sidelines. But then when they get the opportunity to go on...
No one's ever had the opportunity, because Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael have shared power for over a century.
They've had the opportunity, and we can't come to an agreement because it doesn't suit. It's very easy. It's very easy to sit on the fence on everything. And that's the situation we have.
Okay. Well, thank you. Micheál Colm, let me ask you a question then. I mean, it's not what you want, right? Because at the end of the day, we live in a democracy and it's the public that will have their say. Sadly, it's only going to be about half of the population that will end up having their say, but it is the public that will have their say. What government do you think, not what you'd want, but what government do you think will be returned? It will be another coalition between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and Éin Uther as well, won't it?
Look, it's quite likely that the sitting government will be returned. Unfortunately, look, for me, you know where I want to see an alternative, progressive, left wing government that looks after the interest of the working class. But unfortunately, look, we see coming up to the budget that's going to be presented to us very, very shortly. The budget will be a tokenistic gesture of a giveaway solely to make sure that they stay in power. It's not a long-term fiscal view of what's best for the country. If you look what we're doing with the surplus of funding that we have, look, we could have had more if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil had chosen to take this money off Apple many years ago, but chosen, you know, to protect their interest over our interest. If they had invested into our infrastructure badly, like trains, like our hospitals, our schools, you know, like we were to discuss earlier, to discuss about overweight within our youth.
We will,
you know, none of our national schools have actually gyms or teachers that are PE teachers. So, look, there's a massive failure, but what the government chooses to do is to pay off the debt that this debt that they brought about in the interest of bankers and bondholders. What they've done is they've shifted all that funding to look after wealthy people yet again. Instead of saying to hell with the wealthy people, let's invest into our working class communities that we badly need. They're absolutely not just in my own area, but in other parts of Letchkeith, up north in Inishowen, and south of the county, and the east of the county. Mm-hmm. They haven't invested properly. All they've given us is piecemeal, and that's all they will ever give us until we politicise, organise, and agitate, and get on the streets and force a government that will actually represent the working class people.
I think that's where the left have a problem, to be honest with you.
Greg, if I can say this, please. Bear in mind, there are far more left-wing councillors now in Donegal than there are Fine Gael. I know the number of councillors that there was when I joined the council first.
But you could argue in certain policy decisions, Sinn Féin moved further left and it's wiped 20% of points off their...
I would disagree. I'm not here to speak for Sinn Féin. I'm an independent Republican, left-wing Republican. So I'm not here to speak for any other party. And I would disagree that Sinn Féin have moved to the left. They haven't clearly
issues.
Moved to
I'm
the centre and to the right.
Yeah, on certain issues. Well, they're left. There's a bit of a complication there for them, I think, in identifying on issues such as immigration, for an example. Okay, we'll be back.
100%. They flip-flopped on that issue, and they're paying a very dear price on that.
That's the point I was making. We'll be back with more after this break. It's clear there is a November election. Look at the constant amount of money which is being given away. Doreen is very wrong. Trust is earned, not demanded. As soon as this election is over, we'll be back to no money for anything. And on it goes. But we'll see. People will have their say, though. I think it's really important, Paul, though, that I tried to sort of rally the troops, and of no particular political leaning at all. But I think it's really important that everyone who has the right to vote votes in a general election, isn't it? Because we'll end up with the outcome, and it could be whatever the outcome might be. But you know, almost half of the people won't bother voting.
Yeah, we have this problem in the local elections where a lot of the time you have 50, 60% of the people that vote, you know, and they leave it to others. And it's the worst scenario that you can ever get is if you happen to be a previous top of the poll or whatever, and then the opposition goes out and says, oh, he's safe enough. And there is people then just go and they don't bother. And I think there needs to be some sort of, there needs to be more. It needs to be made more stringent on them that they have to vote, or there's some kind of, because there's a lot of people out there that don't vote.
Doreen, I mean, you know, regardless of who people decide to vote for, the more people that vote, the better for democracy, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's heartbreaking, really, when you are and you have an interest in politics and you see that the turnout is as bad as it is. And it takes a lot of work, as Paul will know, to get people out to vote, whether they're coming out to vote for you, your party, or on an issue, if it's a referendum or whatever. But it's just very, very, very difficult to get people out. I think it's a, in a way, it's a pity it's not tied into that you're obliged by law to vote. I think there's some, it'd be nice if there was something in there that would, you have to have some reason that you can't vote,
okay,
you know, and that more should be done to encourage people to vote. There's a lot going on in schools to help people vote. There's a lot of the whole new thing to do with politics in school and the debates that go on in European, within the European kind of group. So I do think, you know, that the, we're dealing quite well with young people. But it's getting them out to vote. But
Doreen,
maybe now, Councillor Colin Gillespie himself, be lovely to see you running for the Dáil. He seems to have all the answers. So that would be lovely and very interesting.
Well, there's a challenge to you.
First and foremost, Doreen, and again, you do this you're every single time I'm on, and I feel quite patronised by you by doing this. My name is Micheál. Okay, so we've got
Colm,
that.
I was told a few minutes ago, it's very hard to get it right with you, Colm.
No, not really. Not really, because well, I'm sure when
fairness,
you're in the classroom
setting,
when you're talking to children, I'd say you remembered all
Doreen,
their children's
we are
names,
almost so. At the point now where it does sound like you're calling him the wrong name on purpose.
No, she does it deliberately. always. And it kind of reflects maybe where
all
she
right.
is herself.
Micheál, Colm, just finally, but we don't have time. So just remind us about the service that you're providing today and the invite, Micheál, Colm.
You mean in
just as because we have to wrap up, so just give it a wee plug
all right,
there.
Okay, yeah, listen, what I call, I'm just conscious that the two of the teachers from Hanegar School have just come in. We have a cinema here, look, there, you have to come sometime to see it. But this morning, like I says, we're cooking mashed potatoes with Donegal smoked bacon, Stornoway black pudding. And if anybody has never ate Stornoway black pudding, it's beautiful.
And where are you?
We're in Hanegar, call up in Hanegar, Scubble of Fubble, right beside Gillespie's Engineering's and Arrigal Brewery here. So call in, bite to eat, cup of tea, and more importantly, just a good conversation. And it's really important that there's space made. And maybe with all this billions that Doreen keeps saying that comes into Donegal.
Well, don't start a debate now. Oh, actually, clicked the button. I'm so sorry, Micheál Colm. You know the point he was going to make anyway. I clicked the button here. Doreen, thank you very much for your time as always. Take care of yourself. Have a lovely weekend. And
thank you.
Take care. And Paul, God bless you. Yeah, thank you very much for your time. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. It is the 9 till noon show. We'll be back with more after we take a break for the news and obituary notices. Stay right where you are.